This morning we started talking about our walk and how sometimes when we have an injury or a disease, soreness, we get lame, we limp. And so we're looking at our walk once again. This morning we talked about finding those who are limping along and sad in life and how we might be able to minister to them and to help them. And so we continue on with this thought of walk tonight. And Brother Barry, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 14 and verse 16. The Bible says, who in times past suffered all what? Nations. To what? To walk in what? Their own ways. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. And the background to this here, yeah, let's just back up a little bit in verse 8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and what? And walked. And verse 8 said he had never walked before, but now he leaped and walked. Verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which, when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should what? Turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So we're looking tonight at number two here, walking not in our own ways. Walking not in our own ways. These people of this city were given to idolatry. And so the power of God is present in verses 8 and on there through 10 to heal this cripple, this cripple from the womb. And so he had never walked, verse 8, but now, verse 10, he's leaping and walking. And as we think, this world needs to see the glory of God, don't they? They need to know the true and the living God. They're looking all in the wrong places. Our nation is in such problems. And the problem is in verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Notice with me in Judges 21, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Judges 21, 25. Sadly, our nation is walking in its own ways, doing what is right in its own eyes. In Judges 21, 25, the Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in what? His own eyes. And that's the problem today. And eventually that brought destruction on Israel and it will bring destruction on America. Excuse me, notice in Psalm chapter 9, Psalm chapter 9 and verse 17. Psalm 9, 17. The wicked shall be turned into where? Hell. And all what? The nations that forget God. Well, I think by all that's happening in our nation, a good portion of our people have forgotten God. Forgotten God. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. You know, we in our land, we've in recent days and weeks, there have decrees been made in favor of abortion, sadly. Killing of innocent babies in the womb. And back to the same thing of using our tax dollars to do it. You know, there's all kinds of people concerned about the climate. It's interesting, every time they start talking about global warming or climate change, we get dumped on, like just as recently, with snow and cold all the way down into Texas. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. You know, as God's people, we do not have to fear climate change, global warming. They started out calling it global warming, and then God had to make them look ridiculous by making it cold, so then they changed to climate change. So now every time it gets cold, they say, yep, that's global warming or climate change. Look at Genesis 8:22. God says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and what? Cold and heat, and what? Summer and winter, and day and night shall what? Not cease. Now, do you believe that cold and heat will not cease? Well, yes, we just had a super cold spell. The heat will come, summer and winter. God promises that the seasons, the hot, the cold, will continue. So what is it? It's not our cars that's defiling the land. What is defiling our land? It's sin. Notice in Numbers 35. Numbers 35. It's up to us as God's people to walk with the Lord. Someone has to see it. Someone has to not be afraid to bless the Lord. To bless people in the name of the Lord. You know, there's so many businesses where employees swear and use God's name in vain. How can they stop us from blessing people in God's name? If they are not going to prosecute people who use God's name in vain at other people, how can they stop us from blessing people? God bless you. How can they stop that legally? They can't. So will we rise up? Numbers 35, 33. The Bible says, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are for what? Blood. Blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. So innocent blood. The Bible says there that innocent blood pollutes the land. It pollutes the land. You know, there's a governor, and I don't have to say his name. You know who it is in America. But he, not too many years ago, was boasting that people come to his state out east and get abortion. In fact, he was welcoming people from other states with strict abortion laws to come to his state, and he had no pity on the unborn at all. Well, recently he's in big trouble for having no pity on who? The elderly. Yeah. You see, if they don't care about the innocent little children, they are not going to care about the elderly. Either one. If the little children are a pain in the neck to them, then the elderly people are going to be a pain in the neck to them too. And that's what's shown out there. But we're also seeing something else, some principles being shown. Look at Numbers 32. 23. Numbers 32:23. When we just have to rest in his promise, and we're kind of seeing that come to fruition in that man's life. But Numbers 32:23, the Bible says, but If you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And what? Be sure your sin will what? Find you out. Seems like we're seeing that in that man's life now. The Bible is true. So we need to walk before the Lord and have confidence in His word. Now, some people may have said, wow, this guy is getting away with murder, with babies and with elderly people. But not so. He's not getting away with murder. One day they have to stand before God. But let's look at Galatians 6. Galatians 6. But how will we walk? That's the point. Will we start walking like them? We need to walk in front of God. We need to walk in God's will and way in this world and not be pressured to conform to the world. We are living in a time right now where all godly, conservative messages out there are trying to be squashed and trying to be not allowed to go forth. But Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap what? Life everlasting. I can remember when I was a boy, we lived across the field from one of my sets of grandparents, and I can recall as a boy seeing my grandfather sow a seed, I think it was clover, but he had a burlap type bag with a long metal spout, and he wasn't planting that field with a machine, a planter. He walked the whole field, and as he walked, he was scattering the seed. He sowed the whole field by hand. That's how he did it. And you know, that's what God wants us to do, doesn't he? With the seed of his word, because our nation, the people of our nation, are woefully ignorant about what the Bible teaches. Just woefully ignorant. Notice with me in Isaiah 55, which reminds me, if I could get some of you guys to help me before you leave tonight, we've got some seed to load into the truck. Amen. Out here we have some Balak boxes going to the Philippines filled with what we're just going to read about here. Isaiah 55:10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my what? My word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me what? Void. So void is empty. If you void a check, it's not worth anything. God's word will not return unto him void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I think it was Brother Jesse and I talking here the other night, but talking about preaching messages. We record messages for the nursing homes and assisted livings in each week. And so we're just thinking about and talking about who's here listening. Well, most of the time it's just the preacher and I'm sitting in the sound booth recording it. But usually we stick it out on live stream just in case anybody's out there listening. And usually there is somebody out there listening to it. But I was telling him the story that I read years ago. It was a true story about the logging camps up north. And there was a man that was going to go preach in a logging camp up north. And when he got there, the loggers had moved on to another camp. But he thought, well, I prepared this message. So he went to the dining hall and he preached his message. And then he left. And he thought no one was there. But there was one man hiding, lurking in the shadows, and he didn't know it. And he listened to his message and he got saved. And so the preacher later on found that out. So he thought he was preaching to an empty logging camp, but he wasn't. It's kind of like Philip reaching the Ethiopian eunuch. There was someone there, and he got saved. And what an exciting thing it is, verse 11, that when we hand out gospel tracts and when we give out God's word by mouth, when we mail them out, however we get them out, however we witness, in person or whatever we can send to them. It's not in vain, and it'll be worth it one day. Notice then in Proverbs 14, this is what our nation needs. Our nation, this is the answer. This is the thing that will change. One of the songs we sang this morning, I don't remember which one it was, but the man died the year that Prohibition was repealed. And so, you know, in the end of his life, he was able to live during the Prohibition days when it was outlawed to make alcohol in our country. And then he went to be with the Lord. But you see, that's what happens when there's not a true change of heart. What happens? People go right around behind whatever it is and just change, revert the laws. We've seen a huge example of that right now. We saw many things done in the previous 4 years, and we've seen more executive orders written than ever before in rapid succession, all just reversing everything that was done before. And so we need a change of heart in people. Notice in Proverbs 14:34. The Bible says what? Righteousness. What does it do to a nation? Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a what? Reproach to any people. And you know, our nation has absolutely no excuse since 1973 to be slaughtering innocent babies. No excuse, because we've had the Word of God. Notice in Hosea chapter 4, you know, we can't claim ignorance, not in our land. Now, there's a lot of people that don't know what the Word of God says, but they can't claim ignorance. They could easily find out. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are what? Destroyed. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. We're not talking about college degrees here. Let's read on. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten what? The law of thy God. So we're not talking about a college degree. We're not talking about a liberal arts education. We're talking about the Word of God. Thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into what? Shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like who? Like people, like who? Priest. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doing. So today, you could use that same principle. It's like people like politician. Same thing. Like people like priests, like people like politicians. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to who? The Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Do the people of our nation really have a heart? When they can get all excited and clap and cheer when someone signs a paper allowing abortions, how can they have a heart? They have a heart that's very hardened, that's for sure. As a nation, we've had the Word of God. If we would just obey it. Notice in Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. Notice this. Notice what we could have. Deuteronomy 4, 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your what? Your wisdom and your understanding in what? The sight of the nation. Just think of that. As people look at America, if we follow the Word of God, they're going to look at us and say, wow, and let's read on. Which shall hear of all these statutes and say, surely this what? Great nation. It makes a great nation when we obey the word of God, when we know what it says and follows it. They will say, surely this great nation is what? A wise and understanding people. You know, more and more, we are getting in our nation to follow Europe and other nations instead of following the word of God. But if we had followed the word of God, they would say that we are a great nation, that we are a wise and understanding people. Verse 7, for what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgment so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? I've heard about so many 5,000 page bills that are before our Senate and the House, and whoever reads them. And if they ever read 5,000 pages, would they ever understand what it's saying in the language it's written? How much better investment it would be to read this book and use these laws and just say, okay, well, on this matter, our law will be right that verse right there. That will cover this. Oh, how much, you know, people would say, wow, what a great, a wise and understanding nation. It should have been so easy, the choice. Notice with me in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. This chapter is long. It's a long chapter, but it's so tremendous. It puts before us the choice to make and the blessings, or the bad choice to make and the condemnation that comes. Let's look at verse 1, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all what? His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord will what? Set thee on high above who? All nations of the earth. Wouldn't you think people would take notice to this? Wow, that's quite a promise. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Are we blessed in the cities right now? Well, there's some of them that are, after last summer, are like war zones. Why? Because we've disobeyed God's word. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And it goes, well, let's read a couple more verses here. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be what? Afraid of thee. Well, when I start this chapter, it's just hard to stop. It's just verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season. You know what? California should read the Bible, shouldn't they? Every year it's a drought. Fires, drought. If they would just read the Bible and obey it, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not what? Borrow. What is wrong with us? Trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. because we're not obeying the Lord. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the what? The tail. Not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Well, then the chapter changes tone here. Okay, that's what happens if we obey the Lord. What happens if we disobey him? Well, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these what? Curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Yeah, we've seen that. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Verse 22, let's drop down there. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land, what? Powder and dust. Powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. It just goes on and on. Verse 43. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Deuteronomy chapter 28. There's one of our gospel tracts that has a lot of this chapter in it. And I wish all of the people of our land would read this chapter. America could be so blessed, but we're in such trouble now. So we need to walk in God's law. Number three, we need to walk before God. Notice in Genesis 17, Genesis 17, verse 1. What does it mean to walk before God? Genesis 17, 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and what? Be thou perfect. You know what that shows? It shows that we are never too old. We never have enough of God's word in our heart. We never get to the point where we do not need to be obedient to God. I mean, can you imagine saying to a 99-year-old grandpa, Grandpa, you need to straighten up, not be naughty. Well, you know what? God was saying to Abraham, Abraham was 99 years old, and God was saying to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We never get old enough to lose this sin nature, do we? It's always there. And we need to walk before God. What does it mean? What does it mean? It means if we are walking before God, we are walking with that sense that of his presence. And let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. And this is what we've looked at many times with this verse, but we need to practice it. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, two verses. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto what? Thine own understanding. So whenever we get troubled in our minds, then we need to, okay, that makes us think of this verse. Okay, I need to trust the Lord, not my own understanding. And then verse 6, in all thy ways, what? Acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. You might have a GPS in your phone, or maybe you have a dedicated GPS device in your car. But it's not going to help you unless you what? Turn it on. Turn it on. Consult it. God is right there. So if we walk before God, we are practicing his presence. My heart has been so blessed by practicing this. Okay, Tonight when you came in, Lord willing, someone acknowledged you. Someone greeted you, said hi, talked to you. But how many times do people ignore God? Is he there? Yes, God is everywhere present. But how many times do people ignore him? How many times, if we are not careful, do we forget he's there? Start worrying about things? He's right there. You know, today the common thing is ask what? Siri. Or what's the other one? Alexis, okay. And in my mind, I was thinking, a lot of times when questions come up, people say, well, I'll just what? Google it. They've forgotten God for Google or Alexis or Siri or whatever it is. We've forgotten to ask God. So when we walk through this life, let's walk like God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. So let's walk thinking about the presence of God. When I start new tasks, I like to commit that. Lord, I acknowledge you. I need your help. I need your help in this, Lord. I can't do it. And I try to carefully talk to the Lord and say, I am not complaining that I have these tasks to do. I am thankful that I can serve you. But Lord, I need your help. I need your strength and your wisdom. I need direction how to do it. You know, Moses got to the point where he said to God, I can't do it. It's too much for me. And what did God do? He took of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon how many men? 70. Do you realize if God has called you to do something, he has given you the strength to do it. So don't complain. If you feel overwhelmed, don't complain to God. Just say, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I'm depending upon you. During this whole coronavirus thing, it seems like we've had more to do than before. And I just keep thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. There's so many opportunities of ministry. Even in a time when you think of everything shut down, but there's just been so many opportunities to serve the Lord. So let's never, ever complain. Notice with me in Philippians chapter 2. Let's thank him. If we're feeling overwhelmed, it should just show us, Lord, I should have asked before, but I'm asking now. Lord, please help me in this task. And Philippians chapter 2, in verse 14, says, do all things without what? Murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. The who? The sons of God without what? You know what? If we're walking through this life and we are without rebuke, if we're not murmuring and disputing, if we are blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, and then it goes on to say, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, do you know what people are going to notice? That we are what? Walking with God. We're walking before God. We're walking in the fear of the Lord. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Well, that seems to sum up our nation really nicely right now. A crooked and perverse nation, but among whom ye what? Shine as what? Lights in the world. You know, the darker it gets, the more our faith is going to shine. Amen. You know, there are some people that don't want to be noticed, but can't help it. That's part of the Christian life. When we're walking with God, it's like Moses when he spent that time up on the mountain and come down and then spent the time in the tabernacle and come out. His face was glowing. Oh, that people could see the glory of God on our faces as well. So how do we shine as lights in the world? Verse 16 says, holding forth what? The word of life, the Bible, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not, what? Run in vain, neither what? Labored in vain. So this week, let's walk with God. God came to Abraham, 99 years old, said, Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Abraham, walk before me. Abraham, walk thinking about, I'm here. You know, if we constantly practice the presence of Jesus, we're not going to say the wrong things. We're not going to think the wrong things. We're not going to do the wrong things because we're thinking about Him. He's there. Years ago, I read about an example. There was a man who was a vulgar man. And this is back before motorized vehicles. And so he talked to his horses or mules, whatever he had. I don't remember which. But anyway, his directions to his animals were swear words and cuss words. And one day the preacher was walking along the road and he offered to give him a ride. And after that, he had a hard time controlling his animals. Do you know why? Because they were used to receiving directions with swear words, that's why. And now, his animals, he didn't want to say those words before the preacher. That's the point. And so we need to practice the presence of God. Let's walk before Him this week and glorify Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we want to make a difference. Lord, our hearts are so grieved for the direction of our nation. We need You. We need Your power. We need Your glory to be seen. And we know that You want to show that through our lives. You want us to shine as lights in this crooked and perverse nation. And Lord, it's so easy to disobey Philippians 2:14. It's so easy just to get into the murmuring, complaining mode. And then when we do that, we cease to be a light like You want us to be before those unsaved people. So, Lord, please help us. Help us to shine as lights. Help us to acknowledge You continually and constantly that we may please You. Lord, we thank You for the privilege of serving You. Lord, please work in our hearts. Father, I pray if there should be any here tonight who have never been saved, I pray You'd help them to realize that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh. He came through a miraculous virgin birth and lived a perfect life and then died on the cross, bearing our sin in His own body on the tree. And then was buried and rose again in victory, proving that His blood was sufficient to wash away the sin of the world. Help them to realize tonight that if they will repent, if they'll turn from their sin to Jesus Christ, He'll save their soul, wash them as white as snow. Lord, please work in our hearts. Please send us a great revival. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn, please, to 170. 170.